Welcome to the Sable Singularity, a space where storytelling, technology, games, and systems collide on purpose. This is where I build out loud, learn in public, and document the messy, magical process of becoming. If you're a creative, a builder, a gamer, or just a curious mind, pull up a chair or a rocket ship. Let's surf the singularity together. Hey team. Hi y'all. I know my 10 subscribers are going to kill me for being gone for so long, but hey, I'm Kobe R. Rice and I am back finally with log number 4 of the Sable Singularity podcast. So for those of you who don't know me, hi, I'm Kobe R. Rice and I am a novelist, really storyteller at large, tech founder, full stack engineer and game designer. And welcome to the Sable Singularity. So where have I been? It's been 5 months, which is insane because I'm actually trying to make this a weekly podcast, but a lot of things have been going on, as you can imagine. Today is June 30th. I recently celebrated a birthday, and with that birthday comes a whole lot of amazing things, including some very deep self-reflection, some different directions, some enhancements, some pulling back, and I just wanted to come and share that journey with you guys, especially because it's been 5 months since I last checked in with you all. So where have I been and what have I been doing? A whole lot. A whole lot. And I'm going to try to just jump into it, give you guys the updates. And then I want to talk about some life lessons that I've been learning along the way, right? As you'll notice, we have a couple of interesting new things in the title. Strategy plans, Sable Soft Singularity, those types of things. And I'm sure you're wondering what all of that is about. And I am so excited to talk to you guys about the recent revelations I have come to personally when it comes to my career, my day-to-day job, family, future, just also living like a more meaningful, intentional, healthy, well-grounded life. So let's just jump right into it. So what have I been doing for the past 5 months? Well, killing it. I want to say obviously, right, that I've just been killing it. But it wasn't easy to kill it. There have been a lot of things happening, a lot of drama that I did not invite, but I unfortunately had to deal with because unfortunately things happen. And it seems like Murphy knows when things are going well and wants to throw in a couple of things to test you. So that's what's been going on. But let's start with the good stuff, all right? So this is my Q1, Q2 roundup, as you can tell from the title. And let's just jump right into the storytelling aspect. So I'm trying to get in front of this camera here. Let me look at you guys directly. So number one, what are the things that I have been working on with regard to storytelling? Well, of course, you guys know that the main dish of the hour, of the month, of the year has been me developing my new dystopian noir slash sci-fi thriller series called Sodom. I'm also working on the books of Ezekiel, which is a dystopian, I would say new adult, not really young adult, but new adult novel series as well. So trying to move that forward. But with regard to Sodom specifically, I have been working a lot, of course, on the world building, plot, conflict, characters. And I actually sat down and did a very serious reworking of the first part of the series, right? Because you guys know, or you might know, that I also do a lot of screenwriting. Specifically, I have a huge love and focus on TV writing, including pilots, series development, TV Bible development, and I've already developed, at least for my own properties, 3 individual like TV packages, right? That at any point in time, I can like pitch anywhere. But I really enjoy developing the worlds for television, like my sci-fi worlds and things of that nature. And Sodom is no different. So as I'm putting together the Sodom series, I ask myself literally with every single scene, with every single book, every single chapter, do I want to see this on the screen, right? Is it as exciting to read in the book as it would be on the screen? And if the answer is no, I'm going to be reworking it so that you're literally turning every single page, right? Just waiting for an opportunity to really, you know, get to the juicy twist or the juicy end, the juicy middle. And so I realized that I was trying to do a whole lot with book one that didn't really serve the story or the main character, Anais Black, in the best way. So I put on my TV hat, I went into book one, and I said, what would make for a really phenomenal first season of Sodom? And come to find out, there was a second half of the book that really should be its own standalone book, its own arc, its own like journey, its own season, so to speak. And so that's what I did. I actually ended up splitting book one into two books, right? And making book one like the really sexy, like cliffhangy, is that a word? Cliffhangy intro to the series, the main character, all these characters. And that became its own book. And then season two is really where we see some serious growth and clashes and, you know, just a lot of more juicy stuff, more plot twists, more world building, things of that nature. So long story short, I added another book, right, to the Sodom series. So the main canon is now 20 books long. It feels very complete. There's a very clear, you know, through line, log line, and storyline for every single book that makes total sense in terms of the progression. And, you know, if I were to put this into a TV series, it would probably be like 10 seasons long, right? So about two books per season, each book meaning like half a season if you really do it right. So added another book. I love the way that it's sort of laying out, let's put it that way, okay? And so that was really exciting, but it took a lot of work because when you split a book in half, you have to make sure that the first book still stands alone on its own, stands alone on its own, and that the second book still also stands alone. So what I'm doing now is still kind of like weaving everything together for book one, and I'm almost done. So worked a lot on that. Did some drafting, but mostly did like a lot of rework for the first book. And then on top of it, as I was asking more questions about what happened in the world prior to, you know, the first scene in the Sodom series to bring us to this dystopian world, another prequel popped up. So now we're looking at a 20 book canon, four prequels, and then a spinoff series called After Asylum, which is, I'm really excited to write all that. So it's becoming a whole franchise, guys. A whole franchise. It's probably the biggest project I'll ever work on. Whereas the books of Ezekiel, as they stand now, is also like its own, obviously, standalone series, but with 20 books. And there's not really much else. Well, there are a couple of spinning off out of that series, but they don't feel as urgent. So let's put it that way. So that's what I did for novel writing. Quickly, sorry, I'm going to move it along. So a screenplay that I wrote also is now out to the industry. Terra, that's what it's called. I feel like I can talk about it now because like we just had like a very public workshop on it, you know, letting folks know how we wrote it, how we put it together. And so now it's actually out in the industry circulating. Not sure where that's going to go, but that's pretty exciting. And I also might have another fantastic opportunity coming up in the world of indie television. So we'll see what goes on with that. My manager team is really putting in some great work to continue to push opportunities my way. So I'm really excited about that. So that's novel writing, screenwriting, engineering/coding and education. That's the big thing. This entire time that I was gone, I actually have almost completed my very first certificate in my, I would say, engineering series, right? So the certificate that I'm working towards now is called Scripted and Compiled, or Compiled and Scripted Programming Languages certificate. And I'm learning a whole lot. Like I learned about the algorithms and logic, obviously. I have taken Python 1 and 2 as my scripted programming language. the compiled language I learned is Java, which I found very hard. So I'm going to go back through those classes again and just retake them and repractice. So I've learned two programming languages. Still need more practice. I still want to kind of dig in more. And I actually just wrapped my database management class and I learned SQL, which I really enjoy because it's actually like pretty straightforward, simple, and also just intuitive, right? The language pretty much matches exactly what it is you personally want to do with the database, and it's great. So now what I'm taking is the capstone course, and I have to put my knowledge all together with regard to everything that I've learned in either the Python or Java course and the database management course to create a food truck app. So I actually wanted to work on my personal app, which is the God Tier Writer Studio app that you guys know I released version 2 of last August. I don't think I'll be able to do that, but this will still be an opportunity to develop a really nice CRUD app that will allow me to test my skills thus far. So I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to like dive into it head first. I just started that particular class yesterday, and I have 5 weeks to develop this app. So wish me luck. Okay, so I'm still in the game. I'm still doing it, despite the fact that things kind of went off the wall. And what I love about this is that by the end of the year, I will have finished the certificate, have programmed an app, a CRUD app, have learned those two languages, actually three languages, right? And I'm immediately starting my advanced software developer certificate as well. So I'm going to be moving from just programming into now software development and a little bit more of engineering. So this has been super helpful in terms of my knowledge about how to design software and apps, because that's what I'm doing as a tech founder, right? So things are moving along well there. We'll talk about sort of what I think I need to do, but I definitely want to get more coding practice. That's something that I have been kind of lacking on. So we'll see what happens there. And on top of the new certificate that I'm enrolled in that I'll be starting this year in a month, I will also have the opportunity to focus full time after those two classes have concluded on the full stack developer certification at freecodecamp.org. So it has been a very jam-packed year of like getting my full stack engineering skills off the ground, and I'm still developing those skills, but I'm really excited that I'm making some steady progress there. So that's still going well, and I'm excited about that. With regard to actual game design and app design, I did have to put the Roblox game on the back burner only because it was taking I underestimated, right, how much brain power it takes to switch contexts. And I talked about this in, I think, my last podcast, but I thought I could do like game design in the morning and programming my app in the evening. Nah, I really just need some more continuity, to be honest. And I was just like, listen, if I'm designing the app, I'm just gonna design the app. So I did a little bit of design with my Roblox game, but I did put that on the back burner just so I can focus all of my attention on just programming and like apps and app design. And that just helped me to lock in a little bit more rather than dividing my attention. So yeah, that's something that I'm kind of struggling with because I don't wanna leave my game in the lurch, obviously, but I also need for my brain to just combine as many things that I'm doing as humanly possible, just so that I can continue to get like that momentum and a critical mass, right? Like, or critical inertia. I don't think that's actually a term. I don't think critical inertia is a thing, but I hope you guys know what I mean. So yeah, I put the game to the side and I'm just focusing on learning programming, coding, learning engineering, learning software development, and then applying it to these capstones and also my actual app. Speaking of my actual app, I actually ended up designing the graphical user interface for the Writer Studio app, which is great. And then I also put on my user experience design hat, and I have been able to design at least, I would say, the first 10 minutes or so of like the standard user experience at different levels of the app. So, you know, what happens when you open the app, how does the app guide the user through the creation of their story, right? In a way that's not too much mental overload, things of that nature. So user experience is very different from graphical user interfaces and designing the look, but they do work together. And so I realized that I had to kind of design them in tandem, if that makes sense. But the user experience is the more important aspect of that, because you have to decide what you want the user to experience and how you want them to experience it before you can put an image or a face or like a series of buttons in front of them, right? So the experience is going to determine the GUI a lot of the times. And that's something that I'm learning in the process, which has been great. In the meantime, as I'm developing that aspect of my app, right, which is sort of more like, I don't want to say the surface level of the app, but it's just a different level of development. I'm learning, again, like software architecture, engineering, software development, and programming, so that I can like merge all the different levels of app design together, okay? Because I'm a one-woman show, you guys know this. But in the meantime, I'm also trying to figure out like, what is the one tool that writers literally would kill for if they could just open it and use it to do one particular thing? And I think I have put my finger on that tool, because it's something that I personally struggle with and that I need an app for. And so I think one of the first deliverables of the God Tier Writers Studio app is not going to be necessarily a more souped up version of the app per se, although I'm going to try to aim for that. It's going to be a particular plugin or a particular module that will literally solve people's problems. And then I will find a way to put that module into the app. So that's what I'm thinking right now, team. But you'll hear more about that in the future as I come back. What else did I do? I launched the game streaming portion of my channel, showed the whole world how like I'm not as great as all the other full-time gamers, but I really enjoyed it. I got a PS5 as a gift for Christmas, and I was unaware of how many capabilities it came with regard to streaming, such that I don't really need a PC, although I do want a PC, a gaming PC, because there are a lot of amazing games on Steam that I want to like test out and stream and play. But a lot of the games that I'm really interested in, like Ghost of Yotei, Ghost of Tsushima, like God of War, maybe Spider-Man, I'm not sure yet, don't kill me, Arkham Knights, all of those things, Red Dead Redemption, like all the things that I want to play are available on PS5. So I was going to build a gaming PC at some point this year, but I put that to the side, because one of the things I also did, in addition to starting my streaming channel, is that I upgraded all of my equipment. You guys might notice my camera is different. You can like literally see my pores now. I have like a new mic. I have a dual screen setup, and it's just been working really beautifully for pretty much all of my needs. And that includes podcasting, video editing, game design, coding. And then when I want to stream my games, I can either stream them, well, depending on what type of game I want, I can stream it from my actual Mac Mini if I want to with certain software. But I prefer to stream it from my PS5. So my PS5 and my Xbox both have streaming capabilities, and that's really all I really need right now. And I might add like a camera vibe there, but I don't know if I want to do that quite yet, you know? So I'm still getting into the mode of it. I'm still stuck on a certain level in RE9. because I am getting slaughtered in that game, but I am really excited that I started that. So I'm going to try to pick that up in my free time if I can. But it's supposed to be like a low stress, you know, low commitment streaming channel. All right. But that I did start that in Q1 and Q2. Let's see. Q1 and Q2 was standout for me at my day-to-day career. I got promoted, which is great. So I've been very busy with that, of course. So whereas I used to be a senior instructional designer and sales enablement specialist, I am now a manager of sales enablement, which is a jump I have direct reports now, which is great. They're wonderful. Like, and the experience has been very educational in terms of growing my leadership acumen, being more collaborative, like endlessly collaborative, which I love. And also just seeing the amazing, amazing work that people on my team do. Just, I'm just consistently blown away and humbled and educated by the folks that I work with. So I'm very blessed to be where I'm at right now, very blessed to have that opportunity to grow and to, you know, continue to lead and also to, you know, create more opportunities for others and myself as well. So that has been a huge chunk of my time. That's been, you know, something I wanted to focus and hone in on so that I can do really well. And now I finally hit a really good stride. So I feel like I can kind of breathe. But that happened in April. And so that's been taking up a lot of my time, as I'm sure you know. And then finally, just generally, health and wellness have also been a huge focus. And I've made some really great strides there. Lots of gains. I love to like lift now, you know, strength training, lots of gains there. But also some big lessons on just how important sleep and hydration are and rest and recovery are. These are things that I've known, but things that I'm finally putting into like actual practice, like tracking my hydration, tracking my sleep, making sure I'm resting, listening to my body. Like, I'm really trying to put that above everyone, okay? Everyone and everything. Actually, I call it being in my, quote, ho phase, all right? Not H-O, calm down, okay? But H-O-E, health over everything, okay? Some people are M-O-E, money over everything. For me, it's health over everything, okay? So that's what the whole phase is about. H-O-E, health over everything. Because without your health, you have nothing. And you guys know that I talk about this a lot. I'm going to continue to talk about this because it's very, very important. And it also gets us into why I'm calling this the Sable Soft Singularity podcast, okay? Well, the episode, not the whole podcast. So we'll get into that in a second. But the last thing that I did, which has been taking up a lot of my time and is so cute, is I adopted kittens. So me and my daughter have been very busy, okay, with these gorgeous, amazing, hilarious, and very stressful kittens, okay? One is a tortie, and she's absolutely insane. The tortitude is a real thing. She thinks she runs the house. She does not listen. She's very, like, active, very, I would say, like, overstimulated all the time, but also very sweet, very affectionate, and very relentless with her love. Whereas the tuxedo cat, which we also love, is way more chill. We call her the princess because it's like, you have to come to her. She's like, where is my water? Where is my food? I'll allow you to pet me. Very much a chill, but she's also really sweet. She loves affection. She's just more relaxed and more cat-like, where I think the tortie is a little bit more dog-like, it feels, because the tortie is just, like, insane. But we adopted them at 7 months, so now that it's the end of June, coming on mid-July, they're 10 months now. Wow, they're 10 months, about to be 10 and a half months or 10 months. Yeah, so they're almost full-grown cats, and it shows. They hit a major growth spurt after we adopted them, and they have settled in really nicely, and we love them. They're a part of our family, so now we're a bunch of ladies together, okay, just hanging out and chilling. And so that's what's been happening in Q1 and Q2. And one of the biggest things that I personally struggled with, right, amongst all the great stuff that happened, is that we had literally in April and May, and like it's just now getting better toward the end of June, like three major like family crises literally all happened at the same time. And I'm sitting here like, dang, was life going a little bit too well, Murphy? You just decided to throw your whole arsenal at us? Okay, if that's what you want, I don't know. So there was a lot of us, all of us, just like kind of grounding our feet in, digging in, and just kind of hanging on as the ship threw us around in the sea of life. Okay, the life was handling us. Okay, life was like keeping its foot on our necks, snatching our wigs, just like But we survived. We're here. Things are actually getting better on all three of those fronts, like every single day. And when I look back on the fact that I was able to still get so much like accomplished, I'm going to use that very loosely, in the face of adversity and in the face of fear, in the face of uncertainty, I know that I did the right thing by centering peace and wellness and like caring and love for myself and for others. And so that's what the rest of this episode is essentially going to be about, team. And I just want to talk to you guys a little bit more about what my recent, I would say, personal birthday / CEO retreat was about for the past week, because I did kind of host my own very private, you know, retreat where I celebrated my birthday. I did a lot of awesome stuff. Like, I went to my first Evanescence concert. I'm huge on concerts nowadays. I didn't have an opportunity to go to them when I was younger. I was too broke. But now that I have a little bit more, okay, now that I'm not all the way up, but some of the way up, I'm able to splurge a little bit on really good concert tickets, and went to an amazing Evanescence concert in Wantagh, New York at the Jones Beach Theater, Amphitheater. Incredible. Amy Lee. The mic was on. It was on. And they're my favorite band. I've been wanting to see them in concert literally for like the past 20 years. And now I'm able to do it. So in addition to that, in addition to like just doing like good stuff for myself, eating a carrot muffin, sleeping in, reflecting, I thought a lot about what it is I want for myself in the present and the future. And for me personally, the present and the future, the key word is peace, beauty, tranquility, but mostly peace, all right? And that's sort of where the Sable Soft idea comes from, okay? You guys know that this podcast is called The Sable Singularity. It's about the merging of storytelling, engineering, technology, self-discovery, stardust, okay, and sableness, all those things together, right? But a part of that too is the pursuit of, not even the pursuit of, but just the claiming of a certain level of softness. And I say this also as a Black woman, Black creator, Black person, like just blackity black. I know that that might be an issue for some folks, but it is the Sable Singularity, y'all. So we're gonna talk about it. Where Black women are not often offered or even expected to like have peace. And I am not going to stand for that, and not in my personal life and not for you guys. And so as I'm thinking about what I value most, which is like peace and growth, right? And I mean growth in a very steady, soft, quiet way, like a flower. I think about what I'm building for myself. And what I'm building for myself, I call the Sable Soft lifestyle, all right? Now, when I think soft life, or when I hear soft life, a lot of what you see on the internet is about, you know, like being, like taking care of self, aesthetic, fitness, health, sort of a more shopping, you know, fashion, receiving, like being in the feminine energy, in certain circles, being taken care of, especially in your relationships or what have you. There are different perspectives of soft life, some of which are more grounded in like a capital representation of softness, which I personally don't have a problem with. Like, I think any woman, any person has the right to claim softness and whatever that means for them. But for me personally, softness, especially Sable softness, is embodied in not just what you do, but who you are, what you value, and just in like being slower, all right? I don't mean mentally slower. I just mean slower, like waking up slowly and just laying in bed for like another 10, 20, 30 minutes, you know, without guilt, without fear, without being rushed or anxiety, without any of that. It's listening to the birds in the morning if you want to, right? Meditating, at any point in the day. Having a nice slow coffee as you're just reflecting on the day, as you're waking up with like a morning prayer or a morning gratitude, if that's your thing. Making breakfast for yourself, sometimes being a little bit, if you want to, luxurious with that breakfast. Being gentle and kind with yourself and just excusing yourself from the insanity of the day or the insanity of other people. Being stable soft is being able to recognize others' anxieties, others' concerns, and not always have to make them your own, right? Knowing what you own versus knowing what you're there to witness or even maybe even ignore, that to me is all a part of being sable soft. And I'm not going to continue really to define it here in this episode for you guys, but it's going to be a term that does come up on occasion, and eventually you guys will follow me into a journey in my future 5 to 7 years down the line and see like the ultimate manifestation of what sable soft means to me in the physical world. But for now, sable soft is a way of being. It's a philosophy. It's me stopping in the middle of my day, which is what I did today, getting like moisturized and relaxed, and just saying, I'm going for a 20-minute walk, listening to music that makes me feel fulfilled, and I'm gonna go and treat myself. I don't even really do this because I don't really deal with Starbucks like this on a regular, but I'm gonna treat myself to the iced horchata, you know, oat milk espresso, because that's what they have going on right now, and it's delicious. And I'm just like, you know what? Let me get my little steps in. Let me go check some mail. Let me just walk around the neighborhood and let me grab an iced coffee and just exist outside. You know what I'm saying? Without worrying about what's due, who needs what, what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And it was lovely. It was lovely. I got up this morning, I exercised, went to the gym, did my thing, made myself a nice breakfast, did my job, went to work, you know what I'm saying? Did well, was prepared, got myself together. And then at the end of my day, I got moisturized, put some sunscreen on my face so I can, you know, protect the skin. And I went on like a lovely 20-minute walk around the neighborhood. And it was nice. And I know that not all of us have the liberty to have a day like that. I myself had to work for a good like 4.5 years for me personally to get to a day like that. I'm not saying you have to do the same thing, but that was just my personal journey. So now that I'm able to have days like that, I'm trying to seize the day and seize the moment and just do things to make life a little bit softer and gentler and easier for myself, okay? Just make every single day, like put a moment of joy, right, into every single day that isn't about anybody but myself. It's not about impressing anyone. It's not about flashing my money. Not that I really have much to flash, but like, you know what I'm saying? It's not about flashing my clothes. Like everything about what I did today was all about what made me feel calm, relaxed, and just able to breathe. And that includes being here with you guys and recording this podcast at the end of a really lovely day. So that to me is what it means to be sable soft, because when we're not able to take that time for ourselves, we can really do a lot of damage. And I'm also hearing things on the internet now, which make a lot of sense to me, that like women who are not able to really live their full selves and not necessarily even be soft, but just like be fully who they are, including softness, end up with like a lot of autoimmune issues. And actually, to be honest, I have seen that in my personal life, not with me, thankfully, not yet. Knock on wood, but I've definitely seen it. I've definitely seen autoimmune issues because of, you know, one's lack of focus on self. Hold on, I don't know why my computer suddenly went to sleep when I'm podcasting. What is happening? Okay, there we go. So team, Sable Soft is coming. Sable Soft is here, and it's also coming, and I'm really excited to share that journey with you as I also pursue the Sable Singularity, which is merging all of those different parts of myself together. One other thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about with regard to another how do you say, epiphany, I guess, on my personal birthday retreat, my CEO retreat, is that I really reflected on my business entity. And wow, entity, words, I have words. My business entity, which is Rebel Ragdoll, right? Or I guess you can call it like Rebel Ragdoll Holdings, because there are a lot of kind of subdivisions under there. But if you've been watching me for any amount of time, you know that my dream ultimately is to build up a creative, an independent, female identified and female run creative media empire, or fempire rather, which is now a creative media and technology fempire. And that's where Rebel Ragdoll came into existence. And underneath that sort of namesake, we have Rebel Ragdoll Press, which is my independent press that publishes my work, Books of Ezekiel, the When in Rome series, the Camille series, and the Sodom series, and any other series. Rebel Ragdoll Games, that is going to be the publisher of the Roblox game that I'm working on. Rebel Ragdoll Productions, which is going to handle film and television, right, independently. And then now, the God Tier Storytelling franchise, or not franchise, but a business model, right? God Tier Storytelling, God Tier Storytelling University, and the God Tier Writers Studio app. So those are like the four pillars of Rebel Ragdoll Holdings. And I really thought about how I want that company to grow and to evolve, and the things that I have to do on the daily, the weekly, the monthly, the quarterly, and the yearly in order to make sure each one of those aspects of Rebel Ragdoll is growing steadily and also, of course, within reason. So I sat down, and yes, I did use ChatGPT for this, and I created what I call a strategic plan, right? Basically, all the areas of my life, including Rebel Ragdoll and including Sable Soft, which we'll talk about down the line, kind of fall into one or more of 12 divisions, right? So I was able to really divide up all aspects of my life, my businesses, my creative projects, and my ultimate destination into 12 separate lanes that I then developed goals for, a strategy plan for, a first domino for, and just an overall vision for. And I'm really happy to say that right now I'm making really great progress on, I would say, about 50% of those divisions, while the other 50%, well, let's put it this way, actually, three of the divisions are incubating, let's put it that way, all right? And these are divisions that have to incubate because they are not going to bear fruit for a long time. So they're incubating and being watched. Those are three divisions. Then there are four more divisions, right? So now we're at seven. There are four more divisions that are thriving, right? I would say going really well. I'm working on them consistently, things of that nature. There's one division that is stable / thriving. That would be the engineering education division of my life, right? Because I said that I was making great progress, but I also said I wanted to practice more coding, okay? So now we're at eight. And then there are four divisions that currently need attention, according to the conclusions I came to on my CEO birthday retreat. And so having all of that data in front of me and having created that strategic plan, which is a five-year plan, by the way, really helped me to get all of my goals and my milestones and my daily responsibilities in order. And I'm really, really happy. And actually, let me show you like what this strategic plan looks like. I'm not going to show you the inside of it, but I'm going to show you just how thick it is because it's pretty crazy. Uh-oh. I'm away from my mic. Okay, I'm here. All right, hold on, guys. All right. Did you hear the weight of that? Did you see the screen shake? Ooh. When I slammed this strategic plan onto the desk, Okay, so I'm just going to present the front page to you guys. Okay, this is confidential, as you can see. Look at the little stain on it. That's what, relax. Okay, so you can see this is what I call the executive operating system and strategic plan, where we're building financial independence through storytelling, technology, education, and intellectual property. All right, and this is the 5-year plan. You see how thick this is? She thick, right? She thick, like me, period. This is my 5-year plan from June 2026 to June 2031 as to how I want to build up my fempire and how this fempire is going to continuously contribute to my Sable Soft life, which I'm living every day, and how it's going to contribute to my Sable Soft destination, which again, we'll talk more about that when it becomes more real. But I am so excited about this strategic plan because I feel like it's literally my own personalized guide, handbook, accountability book that I can refer to literally like tomorrow, next week, next month, next quarter, at the half year mark, at the yearly mark. And it's going to continue to evolve and grow, right? So I can use this to track my milestones. I can use it to track my goals and to like reestablish and reevaluate what I should be pursuing every week, every month. It also allows me to look at the health of my entire organization and myself, okay? And it allows me to then pivot after I have objectively rated what the health is of each of the 12 divisions here, okay? What I would love to do for you guys, and we're not going to do it today on today's podcast because I'm about to wrap up right now, is I want to clean out this particular template and make it a little bit more general and offer it to you guys for download so that you can create a strategic plan around your life, right? Around your business, around your creative dreams and goals. And this strategic plan is not just about money, business, creativity. It's also about like your personal goals, right? So some of my divisions, and I'll introduce this on the next podcast when I talk about how to build a strategic plan, right? When you are basically trying to strike out on your own as a creative technologist and entrepreneur, I will introduce to you the different divisions. But I will say freely that the divisions cover personal health and wellness because this ain't running without Colby, okay? Colby has to be here. I have to be, you know, large and in charge and strong and on point in order to make the rest of these divisions pop off. So it's about like your personal health and wellness. It's about your financial stability and like financial hygiene, generational wealth, any business that you want to grow or run. And you can feel free to break that business down into like your marketing arm, your content production arm, whatever you want. What else does it cover? Like if you have different aspects of your life that are supporting your business or supporting your marketing. For example, I mentioned earlier in the podcast today, in the episode today, that I have some freelance opportunities that are knocking at my door that I'm really excited about, both in entertainment and in instructional design. That also has a plan of its own. It has its own division in my strategic plan. So I would love to talk to you guys more about how I developed this strategic plan, the aspects of it, and then give you guys an opportunity to get your own strategic plan template so that you can plan for something, you know, in your life that's important to you and make sure that you are very Sable Soft about it, right? Where you're making progress, but you're also putting yourself first and making sure that you are good, you are grounded, you are supported, you have a lot of self-love going on while also pushing your goals toward the ultimate dream, which is manifestation. So having said that, team, I think that's it. I think I'm about to wrap up. There we go, at 45 minutes. Sorry I've been away for so long. Like I said, dealing with a lot of craziness, but also a lot of great things. And I hope to see you guys again next week, where we'll talk more about the strategy plan and how to really, I guess, maximize your life and get it together. So today, unfortunately, no Scrum Solo, because this is a special episode, and the next week's episode might also be a special episode. We'll see. But just wait. I have a lot of great things planned for you guys, okay? Something that is going to really help kick off your personal new year like it kicked off mine. So in the meantime, y'all, wishing you guys Sable and Stardust as we surf the singularity together. And I'll see you next time. Kobe R. Rice, signing off. Bye.